Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. And today's show is about customers, really. Because without customers, businesses don't exist. And we communicate with customers via the very specialised field of marketing and sales. Earning a sale is never easy. Research shows that it takes at least 3 interactions with your product or service to make one, sometimes many, many more. So earning credibility, brand recognition, and meaningful touch points with customers can be tough for businesses that are still growing. So today we discuss the latest marketing and sales trends. And today's show, as always, is made possible by our savvy friends at eView Real Estate. And as we talk about eView Real Estate, our first guest is a director of the eView Group, which is one of Australia's fastest growing real estate brands. He is a director, industry advisor, an investor, and he's got an entrepreneurial spirit and a knack to see through and influence the future. A sought-after mentor, an industry speaker that loves to help others succeed in their desired path. I like that. Jared Carman, welcome back to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks, Jackie. Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you here always. But I must also say that, you know, people think, oh, I've only got you on because you're a sponsor. That's not the case at all, because the integrity of this show is everything. And to have someone on just because they've paid to come on is not a good enough reason for me to have someone on, and I wouldn't have them on. But you've been on before, and your background is fascinating. You've got a background in psychology, which I always like. And I think that's interesting that you're using that now with your role with eView. But you also do a lot of mentoring. You do a lot of speaking. And I know that you've shared the stage with the likes of Richard Branson and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Correct.
What was that like?
Fascinating, really. To see Arnold Schwarzenegger walk into a room, and it was like the oxygen got sucked out of the room in 1,000 or so people. It was quite amazing, actually.
So yeah. He's got that charisma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he carries it.
It's interesting about charisma, that X factor with people, that you actually see them in real life and they either have or they haven't got it. Is there anyone else that you've seen like Arnold Schwarzenegger that has that sort of charisma, besides your good self, of course?
I don't have that much charisma. Branson was probably similar, but to a lesser extent. Yeah. I think the audience really engaged with Arnold amazingly.
Really?
And he's a megastar.
And did he speak well?
He spoke very well. In broken English.
Yeah.
No, I spoke very, very well. His rules to business, phenomenal.
Like yeah, what?
He's
what
a great
are
speaker.
They?
I don't know. I think you can jump on to have a look.
Yeah.
He's got 13 rules. I don't remember them all, but be yourself, be authentic. Don't listen to the naysayers. Those sort of things in business where people try and tear you down, if you listen to them, you'll get stuck in a rut. So that's one of his major things he talks about.
Because he's now the host of The Apprentice in the US. He's taken over from Trump.
Mm. He's huge. He got wealthy. A lot of his wealth is from real estate investing. He owns
is
a lot
really?
Of California. Yep. Even when he was a bricklayer. Yeah.
Oh.
He owns a lot of California.
That's interesting. Mm. And I know that Richard Branson, I've never met him myself, but I know a lot of people who have, and they always comment how introverted he is. Did you have that same experience?
I was surprised by his speaking on stage. He was very introverted. He wasn't very enigmatic, really. He wasn't a vivacious speaker, so he didn't really stand out on stage, but he's obviously a brilliant man and he's very good at putting people around him that are better at jobs than he is.
Right.
That's his skill.
Yeah, and I also think as a brand person myself that he understands his brand. Mm. So he's the Richard Branson brand that he wants people to see, that rebellious, adventurous type spirit, is quite different from him as a person, this introvert. That's why people get quite shocked about how introverted he
is. Yes, he understands how to promote himself, and promote the brand.
Yeah.
But he gets his clients. It's about the customers. He's very customer-centric and also staff-centric, where he makes his people feel valued.
Right.
And that's where he's got it down.
Okay. Now, speaking of brand, every time I look around, your face is on the side of buses. I then look in a magazine, you're on the front cover of a magazine. You're doing Mornington Peninsula TV. Now, what's going on? Are you from a brand perspective, what's the Jared Carman brand and why is that happening?
I apologise for that, Jackie.
My head that's all right. I've seen worse heads.
A lot of what I do is content marketing. It's not, I don't go out there and try and just brand myself, because it's the consumer doesn't like people bragging or just talking about themselves all the time. So a lot of what I do is sideways branding or sideways marketing, where I can add value to other people's lives. So a lot of helping rather than just selling. I don't see sales as just selling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you see sales as?
Sales is helping people achieve what they want to achieve. So understanding their needs, their desires, their wants, rather than trying to push a product onto them. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I went to buy a fridge. My wife and I went to buy a fridge. And the gentleman showed us three fridges straight away, didn't ask us anything about ourselves, didn't ask us how many children we have, what size home we live in, anything like that. So for me, selling is really understanding the client, their needs and wants, and fulfilling that need and want.
Yeah.
So selling is not about sales. It's about fulfilling other people's desires.
I'm glad you said that. Marketing 101, and I often say this, it's much easier to fulfill a need than create one. And as I do a lot of consulting work and advisory work with a lot of entrepreneurs and people starting out new businesses in my other job, they're all trying to create a need. And then I said to them, you're making life really hard for yourself. What about trying to fulfill a need? They go, how do they do that? Talk to your customers. Do a bit of, stalking in a good way, business stalking, figuring out what they need and then fulfilling that much easier.
Ask them questions.
Yeah.
Ask what they want.
Yeah,
it's not about what you want to try and get out of the transaction.
Yeah.
And if you're transactional based, you'll just fail. You'll absolutely fail.
How does marketing fit in with sales in your view?
Marketing's everything. Perception is reality for people. If they do see your head everywhere, well, then you are everywhere. But marketing isn't just about branding, because your brand can be everywhere, but people don't like it. So they have to like the perception of what you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So marketing is about familiarity as well. The more people see you and like what they see, then you're ahead of the game. So in our industry, it's just getting in front of people. Just having the ability to actually get in front of people to then be able to speak with them is the hardest thing.
Now, the real estate industry that we're talking about with you, with eView, it's highly competitive and almost at saturation point, particularly, well, in Australia, in Victoria, Melbourne, but particularly on the Mornington Peninsula, it's gone a bit bananas. Well, it appears to. Is that the truth?
Yeah, there's 16 real estate agencies in Mornington and 184 agents that have sold a property in the Mornington area. But it's Pareto's law. 80% of the business is done by 20% of the people.
Right, yeah.
So that's true across the board.
Yeah. So it's there's still plenty of room for growth?
There is. There's massive room for growth. I look at our market share and we've got great market share, but there's massive room for more. My headspace is of abundance though. So there's enough for everyone. So I have an attitude of abundance rather than, trying to crush, kill and destroy everyone.
Okay.
I think there's enough for us all.
Tell us a bit more about Mornington Peninsula TV. I see you on Facebook. So those that want to follow you, how do they find you?
Yeah, Facebook. They can jump on Facebook, Mornington Peninsula TV. That's been fantastic. I did that to promote local business. And the first one we did was a little wine bar called Ficker Wine Stubbly. And I did it to help them to grow their business. And it just went bonkers. The following was amazing. The comments that we got from people who didn't know they were there, for me, that was the bonus. So it doesn't cost business anything to do it. I completely volunteer my time, the post-production. So we've got a lot of businesses now asking if we'll do it. And it's getting a good Facebook following. There's a lot of people behind it now.
I have to ask the question, why?
Why?
Yeah, what was the driver? What was the motivation of doing that? Did you do it for fun or was there to leverage eView's business?
Partly I'm a frustrated actor, I think, Jackie.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Yeah, for me it was to help other businesses. Mm. I've been very fortunate in the town.
Yeah.
Mornington's looked after me. I've grown a great business. We grew enormously and have, quadrupled our business. So I wanted to promote other businesses that maybe weren't doing so well or to help them increase their business. The side to it, I probably get to meet more people, but it was never any intention of trying to capitalize from it.
Because there's Frankston TV as well, isn't there?
There's been a few people try different things. Bay TV as well, which is another real estate agent.
I didn't know that one. So have you got a grand vision or is it just sort of making it up as you go along? Or?
Oh, it'd be nice if we can get that bigger. I'd love to promote every business in town, but we try and pick businesses that we know or that we really like and enjoy going to ourselves or have been part of. But yeah, we're open to promote any business. It'd be great to get that bigger, to actually have a TV channel on it. Yeah.
Now, when you're on stage talking and you've got Arnold Schwarzeneggers and things like that, what do you talk about?
It varies. A lot of it is the psychology of buying and selling, underlying reasons for why we do things, how we make choices that we make. I'm fascinated with the human brain and why we do things we do. I do talk about abundance. One of the last conversations I had with a room of 200 people was a chat on abundance and how everyone can benefit if everyone helps and pulls together as a team. Yeah, just different things, but psychological practices underneath why we make choices that we make.
So what's a tip for a small business listening now that selling is obviously a key to most businesses, that in your experience that people are ignorant about how the human brain works? So how can what's a tip from your perspective that you could help them with the sales process?
Really simplistic. Ask questions. Ask what they want to try and achieve and then be the solution to it. It's like when you go to a doctor. A doctor doesn't, you don't walk in and they say, oh, you look like you've got a headache, here's some pills. They ask questions, they diagnose. So for anyone starting a business, understand your clients and ask them questions. Find out what they want to achieve and then be the solution to that problem.
The Titans of Real Estate, is that something that you do regularly?
No, that was what the talk was called, Titans of Real Estate. The next one is the next one's Total Success. So that's Total Recall, a play on the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
Have you got a preference for all the little things that you do, or your strings in your bow? Is there a preference that you're drawn towards?
I like video marketing. I think that's something I really like
doing.
Yeah,
that's certainly the future. I think we're going to talk about that today. Yeah.
Video marketing is, and people branding themselves. Because, you know, it's right there, YouTube, you know, all of these things are very, very egocentric, I guess you could say. But I think unless people understand that your personality can shine through business and you are a business yourself, that's the future of it. Video marketing's massive, and content marketing.
Have you heard of, you would know, System 1 thinking and System 2 thinking? Do you know about that?
Please explain, Jackie.
Oh, well, I've got a very minor psychology background. I'm not a psychologist like you were, but I'm interested in the neuro-marketing side of it. It's the same thing. Consumer behaviour, what makes us tick. And there's some recent research about, as you would know, majority of our decisions are made in our unconscious or subconscious. So we're not even aware that that's happening. But the System 1 thinking, it's very fast, it's very emotional and very intuitive. And so it's easy, it's quick, fast, intuitive. And so we're tending to rely a bit more on that and making decisions based on that. The System 2 thinking is more difficult. It's more rational, it's more logical. You're weighing things up. So to get to System 2 thinking is more of an effort. And because we're being, I suppose, swamped or bombarded with so many messages and so many choices, and we're all exhausted and everyone's busy now, and everyone's complaining they haven't got enough time. So we're, as a coping mechanism, reverting to this System 1 thinking. Particularly the millennials are proven to do that. But what's interesting about this System 1 thinking that I find most fascinating is that it's emotionally driven. And notoriously, business has been very logical, very rational, very scientific, very technical, and they're missing the emotional side of it.
Correct. The businesses that really understand that and that understand that people make emotional decisions, we back it up with logic, absolutely. Yep. And we start to justify how we make our decisions.
Yes, that's a system too. So we actually back it up. But our first initial is emotional. It's like that first impressions are quite emotional.
And we always have made decisions that way though. Mm. We somehow, business tried to complicate it. But we've always made decisions emotionally. And we still do. And we will continue to make decisions emotionally, especially as things are fast-paced. Especially as technology kicks in even more, people want human element to it.
Yeah. Well, we're still dealing with people, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of dealing with people, we need to take a little break to take a breath and also to support our wonderful sponsors. You're listening to Taking Care of Business exclusively here on Ottawa PFM. Sales and marketing, or marketing and sales, and that was throwing copper with selling the drama. And our guest, Jared Carman from EVU Real Estate, would you say that you sell the drama?
I try and limit the drama.
Okay. But it's still emotion, so you're selling emotions,
massive,
aren't you?
Massive. Yeah, we try and settle the emotions for people, though, because selling a home is one of the most emotional experiences people have.
Well, it's an extension of themselves, isn't it?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I just sold my own home, and I went through exactly the same emotions that everyone else goes through.
Now, just selling your own home, did you sell it yourself?
One of our team members did, Mr. Joel Hood Property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did a great job.
Yeah.
Did a fantastic job.
Did you find it difficult, like removing yourself from
to let go? Yeah. They would say so, yes.
Yeah, that would be.
I have a bit of a control freak, I will say. But, yeah, it was quite interesting that I went through the emotional ups and downs that everyone did. And for me, I was picturing myself doing all the work I was doing to fix up my garden and not spending time with my children. That's what it really came back to.
Right,
yeah. So it's amazing these emotional transactions that we go through.
Did you auction or private sale?
We went to auction but sold it just prior to the auction.
And why did you choose auction? Because that's always an interesting choice now, isn't it?
Yeah, because the market is very unpredictable at the moment and prices have been going up. I believe in the auction process. It does flush buyers out. It brings people to the property for the property, not just the price. And we ended up getting a great result. We were really satisfied with the result. And we didn't go to auction on the day, but sold it just prior to, which was fine.
Yeah, which is good. Okay, excellent. Now, our next guest, we've had Jared Carman here from EView Group, and he's sort of, I suppose, some more sales-focused, if I was to sort of look at an area of preference today. So I thought we needed to balance it out, and I'm a marketer myself, but I thought I needed a backup. I needed another marketing expert. So our next guest is a small business marketing consultant, author, mentor, Jill Brennan. Welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
It's always good. Thank you for your time, precious time, and coming all the way down from Brisbane to be on our show. Really appreciate it. Now, you've worked for over 20 years, and I'm interested that you specialise in small business marketing. And I noticed that you say, and I went in and looked at your LinkedIn profile, that small business typically experience three main problems, and their number one problem is low sales, as we were talking to sales. Why is that, do you think?
Often it's about low sales growth. So they might have, you know, established a reasonable sized business and they, you know, they've got sales coming in, but they can't seem to shift their turnover beyond what they've already got. And often it's a disconnect between themselves and their customers. They're perhaps not really understanding, you know, who they're talking to. So normally when I first start dealing with a client, I would ask them, you know, three questions. So, and that's who's your target market would be the first one. So, you know, who can you best help? What problem are you solving for them? So a little bit like what Jared was saying before. I mean, people don't buy products or services, they buy outcomes.
Mm.
So it's really, you know, connecting
like that.
With that.
Yeah.
And then is what do they value? So if I was thinking about, you know, buying a car, I'm not particularly interested in cars. You know, as a 45 plus year old woman, cars are not really my thing. But what I want is to get where I want to go quickly and easily. So that's the problem that it solves for me. It's not about, you know, a fancy car or a
brand.
Basic car. It's not about the brand. You know, I'm looking for interesting functionality that makes it easier for me to use it for getting around. So what do I value? Well, I value, you know, that sort of functionality. I don't care how fast it can go from, you know, A to B in 10 seconds.
Well, that was following on with Jared's point about you were looking recently for a fridge and they didn't ask you about, you know, your use or how many children or your preferences or five-star ratings or anything like that. It's a common theme, isn't it?
That's right. No, so I think it comes through in sort of the language that people will use to how they promote their business. So talking, you know, to their customers. And one of the things I've noticed is a lot of small businesses don't actually want to focus on a target market. They want to take everyone because they think
we can be all things to all people you want to get as much money as we can.
Exactly. They don't want to miss out on a sale. But by doing that, you actually talking to everyone and then you have to stand out amongst everyone. And you know, it's estimated that the average consumer sees between 3,000 and 20,000 brands every day. So you know, to stand out amongst that, you really have to know what you're about and be able to communicate that in a way that connects with people.
Yeah, it's that, well, I call the carrot. You've got to get their attention and get them to take a bite. And we were talking a bit before the unconscious and subconscious our brains, and as a coping mechanism, it just automatically filters out unless it's got a compelling reason for you to take notice. And that's what the small businesses miss, is figuring out what makes them compelling and what makes them so different. But you can actually be different, but if it's not relevant to the audience, they're not going to pay attention to it.
That's right, exactly.
You know? So, for instance, if a car manufacturer is trying to get you, you know, as a 45-year-old woman who's not really into, not brand, is very functional, they're not, you know, the style and how fast it goes and who's driving it is probably not going to really blow your hair back at all, is it?
No, it's not. And I guess the other thing in trying to work out what people value is how they actually want to receive the information. So for me, you know, a video would be perfect, which is, you know, what we were talking about before, or some sort of checklist for what I should be looking for when I'm buying a new car. You know, things that, so it's trying to position it in a way that makes it an easier decision for me. And then if I've got, you know, five manufacturers, car dealerships to go to, I'm going to go to the one that I can connect with. And that's actually going to help me make that decision with the least amount of fuss and pain.
It's about that connection. And I know a trick, and I use it when I'm doing new business meetings and things, is the mirroring effect, which I know that Jared would know about. So if you want people to like you, is to mimic their actions. So you be the mirror and use their words. So if they, you know, use a word like awesome a lot, then you can say, oh, it's really awesome. And they then think, you sort of almost trick them a little bit to go, oh, they understand me. They get me. We've got a connection, and that it's emotional. Again, that's system one thinking, that we've got a connection, that's a really good start to being able to do business together. Jared, is that a technique you use?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we use it unconsciously now. It's so wired into me that I learnt that. Mirroring, matching how people talk, for one, that's huge.
Yeah.
But you can take that too far. You wouldn't know if someone has an Indian accent or something like that.
Well, that's right.
You'd be sensible about it.
But I find it interesting, Jill, when dealing with a variety of different clients and then using their language, you know, so sort of more government-related clients who use the word stakeholder, for instance. They don't use the word customer. It's all stakeholder, stakeholder, stakeholder. And it's not communication, it's engagement. Yet others will call them clients as opposed to customers. And so it's being aware and tailoring yourself to making sure that whatever you're trying to sell to someone, that there's a connection, isn't there? That you understand where they're coming from.
Absolutely. Google have actually done this study called the Zero Moment of Truth. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but basically it's about how customers are so much better informed now. And they've, you know, through the access to data that they have, they mapped out that there's a formula called 7-11-4, and it's about 7 hours of content, 11 touch points across 4 platforms. And that's what people need to have to actually feel comfortable with buying something. Obviously, that's not for smaller decisions like Band-Aids, but for a bigger purchase like a fridge or a car. So, you know, that really changes the way you explain your expertise. You actually need to have a lot more ways for people to get to know you and a lot more material that they can consume in advance of actually coming into your store or coming online and making a purchase decision.
Okay. I hadn't heard of 7-11-4. Jared, have you heard of that? Fantastic. It's good. I like that one. Yeah, 7-11-4. I like, and Zero Moment of Truth by Google. If people want to Google it, it obviously will be there for them.
Absolutely.
Now, the second thing that you said that is a main problem for small business in their growth, I suppose, of their business is no expertise. What did you mean by that?
So what I meant was no marketing expertise. You know, marketing is a confusing area, and I think even people, I'm sure you'd agree, Jackie, that it can be, you know, very confusing.
Very.
And we're in the, you know, in the industry. So for people outside, you know, obviously it can be quite overwhelming. And so what small businesses will often do is they'll go, well, I'll just outsource that. But you can't really, depending on the size of your business, it's quite difficult to outsource all of your marketing because, you know, there's a disconnect then between you and your customer. There's almost a barrier.
Yeah.
So all this feedback is coming back to the third party that you're outsourcing to, and it may not be filtering back to the business. And you also need someone to actually coordinate the outsourcing as well. So, you know, business owners need to sort of educate themselves more about marketing, but also think about certainly when you get to a certain size, sort of the 2 million plus turnover, of having someone in their business that knows marketing, yeah. knows the marketing for their business.
Well, there's a reason there's a university. You go to a university to learn marketing. It actually is an area of specialty and expertise, but it's also an area that everyone thinks everyone can do, a bit like sales, I suppose.
Yes.
And they don't think about there are tools and techniques. Mm. Jill, the third thing is the haphazard approach. What does that mean?
So often small businesses will go, well, you know, we've got to do something. So they'll, you know, start a Twitter account. They'll start writing some articles. They'll set up a blog. They'll, you know, do the odd video, you know, but they'll do it in a haphazard way. They'll do a bit of this, a bit of that, and then go, well, that didn't work. I haven't seen any results, and not sort of follow it through. And, you know, it's you're just not going to get any momentum if you do that and any traction. So you really need an overall plan. And I'm not talking like a doorstopper of a plan. You know, you can really have a one-page plan and then your action points derive from that. But just having a clearer vision of what you're actually trying to achieve and how you're going to do it.
Yeah, otherwise you're sort of stumbling in the dark a little bit.
Absolutely.
Now, you hold that thought, because on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about some trends. We're going to talk about what is happening in the area of marketing and sales, what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. But you're listening harder, not harder. You're listening smarter, not harder. That's better. To Taking Care of Business here on RWPFM. Those that are fans of Pulp Fiction will know that song. That was You Can Never Tell by Chuck Berry. You're listening to Taking Care of Business here on RWPFM. And we're talking about marketing and sales, or sales and marketing. And the reason I played that song, our next guest is considered the Mr. Wolf of marketing, the founder and global CEO of Trinity P3 Marketing Management Consultants, and dear friend of the program, Darren Woolley. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. And I believe there's all the J's there, Jackie, Jill and Jared.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's right, exactly. I'll have to call you Jaron.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we're talking about marketing and sales trends, and I know that you produce a very popular book each year looking at what the trends were for the year previous and what the trends are for the next year. And you've certainly got your finger on the pulse now from a global perspective. So what are some trends in marketing that you think are happening right now?
Well, we've got the shiny new things being driven by technology, which people get excited about.
Yeah.
But we've also, that's bringing about some real challenges, especially around the way of measuring the digital media performance. And there's been some big issues in the past few months about that. But I think that's also causing people to reflect on getting back to the very basics of marketing. And I'm glad you say marketing and sales, because marketing always comes before sales.
It certainly does. And what about artificial intelligence? I know that's always been sort of talked about as the next big thing. What's your view on that?
Well, yeah, we've got a few things there around technology, and artificial intelligence is at the centre of it. So what that is it's allowing us to handle huge pieces of data to be able to customise customer interactions. And in fact, artificial intelligence is feeding into the new technologies around, say, facial recognition. So technology that will allow the system to be able to identify you when you walk into a store or a shop and be able to look at your past behaviour and be able to then customise that experience for you. We've got chatbots, which are being used for customer service. So chatbots, again, are being able to basically act as a customer service officer, except that in real time, they'll be able to look at your past behaviours and history and be able to respond to you in an appropriate way. And, of course, we've got automation with programmatic and automated marketing as well. And then on top of that, everyone's talking about augmented and virtual reality.
Yeah, like how is all that going to fit in to getting back to basics? So we talked about getting back to basics, particularly from a customer experience or customer management perspective, yet you've got these incredible technologies like virtual reality and artificial intelligence. How is the two going to marry well?
Yeah, look, and the problem has been that we get caught up with the shiny new things. Just because something's new and can be done, people are starting to question whether they should do it. You know, there was always the fear of missing out from a marketing perspective. Someone else was using virtual reality, therefore I should. But I think there's a rethink, and part of that's been caused by this big question around a lot of these technologies promise great things but aren't delivering. And if you take Facebook video, for instance, when they came out and said, look, you know, our measurement system's actually not that accurate and there's a few flaws in it, after Nielsen recalibrated Facebook video metrics, they fell by 94%, revealing that a lot of this performance from a marketing and sales point of view is actually not being delivered.
Now, these technologies sort of sit in the realm, I suppose, of big business and corporate. So for a small business that might be a bit limited, I suppose, mentally or their skill level, you know, they're a little bit older, they're over 50 and they're finding all this technology a bit overwhelming, and also from a budget perspective, what can they do to not be left behind?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that you've got a very clear strategy that is built around what it is, what business objective or marketing objective your business needs to deliver. So the first, you know, if you've just started a business, the very first thing you want is awareness. But then as your business matures, you want to then start converting that awareness into customers and obviously sales, and then you want to build loyalty. You know, so it's the traditional, whether it's called the marketing funnel or the sales funnel or the marketing and sales funnel. But certainly there are lots of opportunities for technology to enhance that. And I've got a great example. In the building that our office is in, there's a coffee shop downstairs. And the guy who runs that basically has a database in his head of about 250 people, because he'll remember what coffee you've had, when your birthday is, all sorts of things. Technology actually, like a CRM system, a customer relationship system, will allow you to do that with a piece of technology and scale it so you can possibly remember thousands of customers.
Oh, so that's really exciting. Darren, do you think loyalty cards or the loyalty programs still work?
In fact, most of the proof, Jackie, is that they don't work. It's a great way of capturing people's information, but it doesn't actually build loyalty. What you're often doing is giving away margin as a way of generating repeat purchase. And in actual fact, what you want to do is get repeat purchase without giving away margin.
It's a topic that I know that you and I have had a chat about in the past, but the difference between strategy and planning, what's your view?
Oh, look, and a lot of people think that they're a synonym of each other, you know, that the two are interchangeable.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, I think there's a big difference, because strategy is what you will do and what you won't do to achieve your objective, whereas planning is the actual plan that you put in place to fulfill on your strategy. So an example of that is, say that you wanted to grow by an extra 10%. That's your objective, is growth by 10%. The strategy would define where is the most likely source of those customers going to come from, or sales are going to come from, to grow the 10%. The plan is the actual things that you put in place to fulfill on that strategy to achieve that objective.
Yeah, that's a really nice summary. I certainly support that. From the global stage, I know you're spending a lot more time overseas now with your expanding Trinity P3 in Europe and a number of places. How does Australia compare globally from a marketing and sales perspective?
Well, from a marketing perspective particularly, Australia suffers a little bit from being a fairly traditionally protected market. Certainly Europe, the UK and the US, competition is much higher than it is in Australia. And I know people here will say, oh, it's so competitive here. Mm. But we're actually largely protected, and we often have buffer zones. You know, I'm not sure if anyone saw Harvey Norman, Jerry Harvey on TV, when he was confronted with the fact that Amazon is planning to open up here in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And his attitude was very parochial. You know, he said, yes, they're bringing the battle to me, so I'm going to get my gun and fight back. And it was actually quite a naive approach, because the way to fight back is not be directly aggressive against your competitors, but to outthink them and outperform them.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to finish. Darren Woolley, Thank you very much, as always. Your insights are valuable, and enjoy listening to your views. Good luck with your future of what's going on with Trinity P3. Just quickly, what is happening with Trinity P3? I know you're growing by the second.
Well, the UK operation is doing well despite Brexit. In fact, I think that's created more opportunities than we realised because of the amount of disruption happening in that marketplace. Mm. And I'm about to go overseas to Singapore, London and the US because we're about to announce the actual opening of our office in New York City.
Oh, that's very exciting. Oh, I look forward to our next encounter. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Jackie.
Great. We know that everyone listening is getting brainier from the best in the business world here on Taking Care of Business, and we'll be right back after this.
You know, I love RPPFM, particularly Taking Care of Business, because it makes my business awesome.
Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. It's very important to think, as Aretha just was telling us there, when you are doing your marketing and sales, that the planning and strategy side of it is key. And I was interested in Darren Woolley, who we just had on before the break, talking about the difference between planning and strategy. And I'm joined here in the studio by special guest Jared Carman from eView Group and Jill Brennan from Harbren Marketing. And I'm interested in both your views on the difference between planning and strategy, because it's quite often they get used interchangeably as the same thing. So, Jared, what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think people do confuse it, and I agree with Darren. Strategizing, as far as I'm concerned, you need to plot out what you want to try and achieve, and the planning is actually the things you're going to do to execute it, simplistically put.
Yeah.
But without a plan, if you do not have a plan, you're planning to fail.
Yeah, but how many businesses don't have a plan? Like, the numbers are extraordinary, Jill, and I'm sure in your experience dealing with small business, is that something that you come across?
Absolutely, yeah. I think they just think they'll wing it.
Yeah, I know. I hear that all the time. It's scary. And the plan doesn't need to be a 100-page document that gathers dust on the shelf. It can just be a one page. It's something.
It can be written on a napkin.
Exactly.
As long as there is a plan and a vision for what the business wants to try and achieve and how it's going to get there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are terrified of writing down plans and writing down their goals because they're worried they won't achieve them.
Or so they have to commit to them.
Correct.
And it's making them accountable.
Correct.
I think the other thing too is that they're not entirely clear what they're going to do to get them there. So they might set, you know, a goal of wanting to reach a certain turnover, but then they're not comfortable enough with their marketing to go, well, I'll get 20% of those new sales from referrals. I'll get another 20% from online advertising. I'll get, you know, 20% from social media. Like, they're not confident enough in their own marketing to be able to then, you know, to plot that out.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit earlier about marketing is a very confusing term and a confusing industry. When people meet you at a barbecue or the elevator pitch, people ask you what you do. How do you describe yourself?
So I say I'm a marketing consultant, author and founder of Harbren Marketing, and we work with ambitious small businesses to help them grow in a way that provides them with less stress, more flexibility, and turns marketing into an asset.
And maybe
that's a bit much for a barbecue,
but that's basically my pitch.
That's
very good. It's a good pitch. But do you find that when you say you're in marketing, people say, do you build websites or do you...
Yes, I do.
Okay. So they're very focused on the tactical side because that's the sexy, tactile, tangible bit of marketing, and they forget the strategy and the planning side of it. And I suppose the most high-profile part of marketing, I suppose, that we talked about, Darren Woolley was talking about the digital and the rise of technology, but is websites. We always talk about websites. But social media is another huge tactical that, again, everyone thinks they can do. Do you advise clients on social media side of things, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, social media gets, you know, a lot of attention, and to me there's, you know, five building blocks of marketing, you know, strategy, branding, collateral, awareness and reporting. And the awareness is really the social media. But the problem is, if you're raising awareness of your business and what you do, what are you raising awareness of?
Yeah.
Like, what are you actually, you know, once they've seen you on Facebook, then what? What happens next? And I think, you know, and they'll go, oh, well, they'll go to my website. But then what happens on the website? What are you actually, you know, how are you capturing their details, or what are you offering them of value that helps them explain what you're about?
Well, that's what you mentioned earlier about the buying outcomes. So it's about what the outcome is. And but do you also find that it's not integrated? So people will say, oh, I've got a website, and then I've got social media, I've got Facebook, I've got Twitter, I've got Instagram. And you go, okay, well, how do they all integrate and how do they leverage? Do you find that a problem?
I do find it a problem. I was actually chatting with a guy just recently, and he was promoting an event that he does. He's a jeweler, and he was running this particular event. And so I thought that, you know, it sounds really interesting. I'll go to his website. On his website, there is no mention of the event at all. I don't know how he was actually promoting it, whether he was just promoting it to his existing customers, you know, through his email marketing, I'm not sure. But you know, having that integration across all the platforms that you're on is super important, because you're a small voice. Most small businesses, you know, they're a small voice amongst many. And if you're not consistent, then it's really hard for people to remember actually what you're about and then tell other people. So if you're confusing in what you're offering, and if you make it hard for people, they'll just give up.
Yeah.
They'll click away, find someone that can help them, you know, in an easier way.
Yeah, the rise of social media has really tapped into how important referrals are to us as humans, and as important referrals are to us as consumers. And so we always tend to ask people around us, who do you recommend? Because it's almost a shortcut way of thinking. And with social media, I always find interesting that if your elevator pitch or your barbecue conversation is not simple and easy to understand, you've got your Chinese whispers problem. So someone has to remember it to tell someone else, and they need to remember it to tell someone else. And I can see Jared Carmen shaking, you know, agreeing furiously.
Absolutely.
Has that been your experience?
Yeah, well, you don't, when people ask you what you do at a barbecue, you can't tell them you're a real estate agent, because everyone wants to tell you their real estate disaster stories.
So what do you say?
I tell them I help people with their property dreams. That's pretty much it.
And do they then go, I've just got to go get a drink, or do they ask you a second question?
Oh, they tend to want to engage in questions and ask how much the house is worth. And they want to get a bit involved and tell you their disaster stories about real estate agents. So
that's interesting.
We're not the most liked profession at times, but we're there to help.
It's funny that you say that, not being a liked profession, because almost every profession will say that. If you talk to accountants or lawyers or your marketing consultants, everyone will say, you know, people don't really trust us, or, you know, I think that when you're in the industry, it's easy to, you experience it. So
when
it's easy
in,
to
Yeah, feel when you're it. In the industry, you don't see it at all, because you are there to help people. So our intentions are pure. But when you see these rating scales of people saying that, you know, we're down there with car salespeople and politicians and other workers, I won't talk about those sort of words.
Yeah. do you think that's because it's been bad media, that people are believing what they're reading, or they've had bad experiences that they're communicating, or is it a lack of understanding?
It's a lack of understanding, yeah. It's people that haven't had experiences before, but they hear their friends have had a bad experience, and so that perception becomes reality.
Yeah,
where the people who deal with us, they love dealing with us, and they walk away from experiences really enjoying the process, and they enjoy the results.
Now, we talked about trends in marketing. Jill, I'm interested, before we wind up today, to tap into your wonderful marketing brain and get your perspective and view on what you think the trends are for marketing.
Well, according to Forrester Research, we're actually in the age of the customer right now, and that started in 2010. And
woohoo!
That's right.
Yeah.
Big party.
Yeah.
They describe it as, you know, empowered buyers demand a new level of customer obsession, and they cite companies like Facebook and Apple. And I think, you know, customers are more demanding. We are, you know, that's just, you know, the reality. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where that goes in the future, and whether the next age is age of automation, which, you know, could present opportunities for businesses, but also threats. I mean, if, you know, they keep talking about your fridge that'll do your shopping when you take a butter out, it'll automatically add it to your list. There seems a lot of talk about that. But if, let's say, that does happen, how do you then get someone to change brands? Because the fridge is just automatically ordering what you've already had.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that become, you know, very interesting, I think, in the future, you know, if that automation just, the way it can play out.
It's the tailoring.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if you can't sort of get your head around the age of the customer, then, you know, what are you going to do if it is the age of automation? How are you actually going to tap into your customers?
Mm. Jared, what's your view on some trends in sales or marketing?
Yeah, I think too many people are getting focused on Facebook and just that scattergun approach where there's not a targeted approach of being hyper-local and getting really into your consumer. Some of the trends are pulling people in too many different directions. Where it is, it's scattered. They don't know really what they're trying to achieve. And the thing that being liked on Facebook is actually a metric. It's not at all. Just having a most amount of likes doesn't really tell about the engagement that you have with your actual clients or your community. Yeah.
It's interesting that I always found it funny that Facebook used the word like, so I'm big on language, and they've tapped into, I think, this sense of we want to be liked. So you get a like and you go, oh, someone likes me, and it makes you sort of, it taps into our ego or makes us feel good.
Absolutely. It's a rush of dopamine for people. They get that rush and they want more of it. I'm liked.
We just need to be more aware of that as consumers and as a business, to walk in the customer's shoes. And it's difficult sometimes to do because you get very introspective and too close. So you need always a fresh pair of eyes, a fresh pair of ears, and it can be family, friends. But getting that feedback is really critical. I think that's really important. Jill, have you got a philosophy or a pearl of wisdom that you'd like to leave us with? Is there something that inspires you or motivates you?
I think that small businesses need to take more control of their marketing and, you know, be better educated about what is involved. And I guess one of the things that I would think about in terms of philosophy is you can't hide behind your website or your Facebook page. You actually do have to listen to customers, because marketing is about looking for clues.
Yeah, I think that's good. Jared, have you got something?
Yeah, focus on helping rather than selling. Provide value for people.
That's good. I like that. Thank you very much, Jared Carman, EVU Group. And if they want to follow Mornington Peninsula TV, they can find...
Jump on Facebook.
Facebook. And EVU, of course, the evu.com.au.
Yes, and they can find us on Facebook too.
You're easy to find.
Yeah, where it really is to find, just Google EVU.
Always a delight to have you in the studio. Look forward to our next encounter and listening to your next adventures. You're always on an adventure. I like that. And we're going to get Mornington Peninsula TV in here, aren't we?
We're going to film you guys.
That'd be good fun. Jill Brennan, thank you so much for joining us here on Taking Care of Business, Hard Brand Marketing. Now, I noticed that you actually offer a free Kickstart kit. If people go to Hard Brand Kickstart Kit, we'll put a link to our Facebook page there. And it's a free copy. What does it do?
So it highlights the 7 mistakes that small businesses often make with their marketing and gives them steps they can take to overcome it, as well as giving them some information about how to get marketing help, the different types available, what would best suit you depending on your turnover, things.
Excellent.
Like that.
Okay, we'll put a link to our Facebook. And also that Zero Moment of Truth by Google, 7114. I like that. Nice and quick and simple and easy to remember. I'm sure today you've learned something new and you do feel inspired. Also, I'd like to thank our guest, of course, our dear friend, Mr. Wolf of Marketing, Darren Woolley. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.